The Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division will come to order. The clerk will note the roll. We do have a quorum. I'd like to, someone entertain a motion to move the minutes or accept the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Holberg moved the minutes of, what date? I forgot the date. Forgotten the date. It's on the thing. Oh, February 13th. Thank you, Representative Holberg. Has everyone checked the minutes? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The minutes are approved. Mr. Representative Hornstein, do you have a...
Yes. Move the subcommittee report, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hornstein moves the subcommittee report. Would you want to comment on it, Representative Hornstein?
Well, we had a series of bills that passed unanimously, and they're all headed up here, so there'll be an opportunity for members to hear these bills in the full committee.
Did you make a motion? You did make
Yeah, to approve that before.
All in favor of the motion to accept the subcommittee report, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion is approved. I believe there's an amendment there. Now, Representative Hornstein, correct?
Okay.
Yeah. Representative Johnson, I believe he's in the audience, right? So he's probably is.
Well, Mr. Chair,
amendment to House File 146.
I'll move that amendment, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess I should move the bill.
Representative moves amendment H0146A1. Let's see, do we have a vote? Do you want to discuss that amendment? Can we vote on it first? I forgot. Representative Johnson, not Senator. Representative Johnson, would you want to discuss your amendment that's been moved?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, for that opportunity. Since what I'm doing here with the A1 amendment is changing the appropriation from the general obligation funds, which I've been advised from research is not going to work, and substituting it with the trunk highway funds. So that's the essence of the A1 amendment that's being moved.
Are there any questions from Representative Johnson? Could I just ask again, Representative Johnson, why was the change? I guess we'd like to know.
It was changed again because there was research advised us, House research, and as well as on the Senate and the House side, that we couldn't use general obligation bonds for projects that were in the trunk highway system, and that trunk highway funds would have to be requested.
Okay. Any questions for Representative Johnson? If not,
well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would move, if following the question and answer period, I'd like to move the bill as amended. But I think we have a question about where it would go. So.
Representative Hausman, do you have a question?
Mr. Chair, is that your understanding that we've never done geo bonds for anything that would be? Would qualify for trunk highway bonds that we can't... I mean, I'm just wondering how that works with local roads and bridges where we clearly do geo bonds over and above what we would do with trunk highway bonds.
Representative Hausman, I don't know, but I shouldn't say I don't know. I do know, but I believe there might be an insert in your packet. If not, Mr. Burris would comment because we do have some reference to that. And then maybe, I don't know if it's in their packet or not, I didn't look. But Representative Hausman, that is the way it's done. That's correct. Mr. Burris, would you want to comment?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, trunk highway bonds are specific to the trunk highway system, and there is essentially a firewall, if you will, between general obligation bonds that go towards buildings and structures, and trunk highway bonds, which are specific to maintaining capital improvements to the trunk highway system. The reason behind this amendment is because the projects involved with this bill are located in the trunk highway right-of-way. That's the type of bonding that would be necessary for bond counsel to be able to issue an unqualified opinion on being able to bond for these projects.
Representative Holbrook?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm just kind of wondering about the wording of how this works. So you have a dollar amount appropriated to the Commissioner of Transportation from the bond proceeds account in the trunk highway fund. So the dollar amount, I'm assuming, is the total amount, but the authority, I don't think that this amendment actually does it the right way. It's probably not the right way to say it either, but...
Representative Holbrook, are you questioning the amount of the bill?
I certainly would question the amount on a different question, but I'm just questioning the amendment and does it actually do what we need it to do. Because if you would appropriate, you would give authority to a bond for a certain amount, and then in the context of the finance bill, then you would appropriate the first and second year's payments to pay for the bonding for that amount.
Out of the, Representative Holbrook, out of the total trunk highway bond, if there's a bond bill, that's what you're
right.
asking. I believe that's correct. That's the way it would work.
Right, but I don't think this wording does that, is what I'm saying. So, and I'm assuming that, I'm assuming this is getting laid over for possible inclusion in your finance bill, is that correct?
That's correct.
So, I mean, I think we can probably fix it if it's included in your bill, because you'd have an appropriation for this, for the cost of the bonds for the first 2 years of the bond process. I mean, you'd have to authorize a certain amount of bonds to be issued, and then the payment for the first two payments on those bonds is what it should do. And I don't think the language as amended does that.
Representative Holbrook, I was incorrect. I think it was going to be referred to the Finance Committee. Not when I see finance, I always think of this committee, but that's what they call the other committee where we have to refer the bills to. So, Mr. Burris, can you comment on that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, I wrote this amendment, and to my understanding, this is the standard language for bonding, but I can certainly take a look again and see if there are some things that need to be changed with that.
Representative Holbrook, is that okay?
And Mr. Chair, then if I might, if we're sending this to the Finance Committee, then how does it ever end up in your omnibus bill?
That's one of the problems we sometimes have here. We've been a little confused. But apparently, well, wait a minute. Representative Johnson, are we going to, did you suggest that we send this independently?
No, I'm hoping actually that it ends up in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. Well, that needs to go to Finance Committee first, I'm not certain.
I wonder if we should just hold it here. Representative Johnson, we should just hold the bill here and not re-refer it.
I think that would be satisfactory.
That we should probably. Did you make that motion already?
I'd be happy to now, Mr. Chair. I believe the more proper motion would be to recommend that House File 146 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance.
That's correct. Representative Hornstein amended his original motion or withdrew the original motion and...
The original motion didn't include a referral, so I'm just amending, I think, my original motion.
So the motion before us, then, is to House File 146 as amended. We didn't vote on the amendment, though. The motion would be House File 146 would be recommended to pass and to be considered for inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill.
That's right, Mr. Chair.
We do have to act on the amendment. Are there any further questions on the amendment? If not, all in favor of the amendment, I got the number, H0146A1, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no.
No.
The amendment passed. Now we have the bill as amended before us, and Representative Hornstein, do you want to restate your amendment?
Yeah, I would renew my motion to recommend that House File 146 pass and be included in the for a possible inclusion in the omnibus transportation finance.
I confused it. I said amendment. That's the bill. Is there any question on the motion? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I was a little late here, but I think, aren't we taking money out of the Highway User Trust Fund for this? Is that, am I understanding
this correctly? I don't know if you were here. We did discuss that, Representative Earhart, and we did have counsel explain that, and that's the way it worked.
Well, Mr. Chairman, is there a possibility that there's some other place you could get money from rather than the Trunk Highway Fund for this? Is that would be my question. Have you explored any other possibilities, maybe a Yarrows Committee on Heritage Preservation or, I don't know, Ferris Town is always babbling here and there with her committee?
Representative Earhart, that's a question for the author, you mean?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, yes, I have explored other options there, and they seem to be slim and none. This one seems to be the best option, quite frankly, and that's why I'm pursuing it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Johnson, we always have a real squeeze on the Highway User Trust Fund, as you know, and so those of us who try to improve that by gas tax and other means are always very vigilant on monies that leave that for purposes other than highways. So that's why I was asking whether or not there wasn't another source here.
No, I appreciate that.
Representative Earhart, the comment was, Representative Hausman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is another way. The way the means chair has just come in, and he shouldn't hear me saying this because I've been making these ongoing arguments with him. If you look at the history of bonding bills, there is almost every year some cash in the bonding bill. This year, some of us are arguing there is some one-time money which shouldn't be added to base budgets because it's only one-time money. And should we be successful in that, there would be a possibility that there would be some cash in the bonding bill as well. This could be cash, and then no other rules apply. So it is totally up to the chair how he wants to deal with it, but by sending it to finance, finance could redirect it to the bonding committee should that be their choice. All of that is not in my hands, but it is another option.
Just to thank you, Representative Hausman. Just to get back to Representative Earhart, we checked this out, and I have a letter. In fact, it may not be in here, but I have a letter to that effect. Because this is on, as Mr. Burris said, it's on Trunk Highway right-of-way, eligible for normally would be Trunk Highway expenditures, the bond expenditures. Representative Johnson, do you have any comment?
I think I'll move forward with the motion as it currently is set, and I'll continue to explore other alternatives, but from best I can understand, this is the, given the urgent nature of the needs for this and the fact that the research has informed me a trunk highway system is the way to go.
Representative Magnus.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciated Chairman Hausman's input on this. I'm not sure if we should amend this to the trunk highway account or how we should pass this on, if we should just hold this in the committee until we can get a better understanding from you, Representative Hausman, because if we, I would like to see it held in the committee here until we can get some agreement, because frankly, we're going to have several assaults on the Trunk Highway Fund. We always do, every year, we do. And You know, if we piecemeal them out, they don't look so much. But if we hold them in here, and pretty soon it's 4 million here, 7 million here, 10 million here, and it starts to add up after a while, and I'd like to have the committee sit down and figure out, wait a minute now, how are we gonna fund these things? So my concern is if we have the language in there, the trunk highway account right now, I'm a little concerned about that, but I would like to see us just sit and hold this bill not pass the bill, but hold the bill for possible inclusion, and if we can work out something with Representative Houseman, move it on to there.
Thank you, Mr. Magnus. I'm actually thinking the same way, except that I am just about as sure that you're not going to get any general fund monies, because I think there are so many people grabbing for that now, and this would be, in my opinion, low priority, but I think that's the intent, at least of the chair, that we'll hold it in this committee. Representative Holmberg had a question.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, and, you know, part of the reason I voted no on the amendment is I don't want more, quote-unquote, leakage from the trunk highway fund, and I'd rather build roads than pay for historical sites with trunk highway funding. But historically, you can just lay this over for possible inclusion.
Right.
And, I mean, the motion I would hope that this committee wouldn't be prepared at this time to sign off on voting for this out of the trunk highway fund as a vote, but for you to just lay it on the table and hold it over for possible inclusion when we get closer to putting together a committee bill, then the committee as a whole will be better able to ascertain whether or not they want to use trunk highway funding for these purposes.
Mr. Chair, the proper motion, I agree with Representative Holmberg, the proper motion would be to lay over for possible inclusion rather than recommending to pass. So it's the proper motion, then, if I could reintroduce that, Mr. Chair, would be to lay over House File 146 for possible inclusion.
As amended.
As amended.
You withdraw your previous motion?
Yes.
Representative Hornstein withdrew his previous motion, and we have a new motion from Representative Hornstein to, let's see, make sure I'm going to get this right, to lay over House File 146 for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Transportation Finance Bill. We can always restore it and pull it back out.
Right.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, I don't want to belabor this, but when we heard it in the subcommittee, many of us were interested in seeing some kind of scope and sequencing. They just said up front they don't need all this money in the first year, that they were willing to provide to us how much they could spend each year, and you know how the projects could be funded over a number of years. And I don't see those materials in our packet, so as we move forward, hopefully we'll be able to get that information as well in order to make a good decision.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert, I believe we're on the second page of your handout.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like the same handout from before.
You want to comment it for the record so they can't see it on the record. Would you just say what it is, Representative Johnson?
What are you looking for, Mr. Chair?
You said it's on the second page of the handout.
Oh, the...
The previous handout you had before your subcommittee?
I was referring to the cost estimate for fiscal years 2008 to 2011 mm-hmm. on the... developing these properties on MnDOT right away. It's on page 2 of the handout. And that was the numbers that Representative Holbert was looking for.
Okay, that's the one you had previously in the subcommittee.
Yep.
And what you're saying here, Representative Johnson, it does show a split is in a 2-year split. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, over a 4-year period.
A 4-year period. Well, at least we'll lay it over, and at least we have the language in here, so we don't need it anymore.
Very good.
Right.
I appreciate it.
So we can act on the motion to lay House File 146 over for possible inclusion. Any further discussion? not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion passed.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Committee.
Wow. See, our next order of business is the overview from the Department of Public Safety, and we have Commissioner Campion and Deputy Commissioner Ellison. Is that correct? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Michael Campion is my name. I'm the Commissioner of Public Safety, and of course with me is the finest Deputy Commissioner in State Service, Mary Ellison, who will be giving the bulk of the overview. We will try to be concise, Mr. Chair and members, give you a good overview. We have a number of division directors present here in the event that there's specific questions that drill down deeper. If you want some specific answers, we have some people here that can answer those questions. Starting off with the mission of the Department of Public Safety, as you can see, it is to protect citizens and communities. We do that by prevention, preparation, response, recovery, education, and of course enforcement. Our mission is to focus on saving lives and providing efficient and effective services throughout the entire state of Minnesota. Another one of our core mission principles is to maintain public trust and develop very strong partnerships with the multitude of stakeholders that we deal with on a regular basis. The 2008-2009 base budget, the direct appropriations by fund, as you can see, there's $98 million plus in the miscellaneous special revenue. The highway user tax distribution fund is $17 million plus. General fund is $168 million plus. State government special revenue is in addition, above and beyond $83 million. The trunk highway fund is $147 million. The total funds, of course, for the 2008-2009 base budget is over $550 million for the Department of Public Safety. The 2008-2009 expense by category, where we spend the money, over $94 million is local assistance to the local units of government. $20 million is transfer money. A large majority of that is for 911 bonds for the interoperable radio system. Payments to individuals through, for instance, the Office of Justice Programs Crime Victims Assistance is well over $3 million. Operating expenses is $146 million, and compensation for employees and other expenses is $249 million. With that, I will turn the rest of the presentation or the specifics to Deputy Commissioner Ellison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. Commissioner Campion just reviewed the entire state budget for the Department of Public Safety. We have the distinct honor and privilege of appearing before two different budget committees, both in the House and the Senate. Part of our budget is heard in the public safety area, and part of our budget is heard in the transportation area. So now I'm going to focus in on the divisions that are funded through this committee in the transportation area, give you a brief overview of each one of those divisions, and then talk a little bit about the governor's change items that he's recommending. And then, as Commissioner Campion said, we have division directors here in the audience that can answer any specific questions that you all may have. The transportation divisions include the Minnesota State Patrol, our Office of Traffic Safety, Driver and Vehicle Services, Administration and Related Services, and the Office of Pipeline Safety that's located in the division of the Fire Marshal. The Minnesota State Patrol, the mission is to protect and serve all people in the state through assistance, education, and enforcement, provide support to allied agencies, and provide for the safe, efficient movement of traffic on Minnesota's roadways. The governor's budget recommendation for the State Patrol for the 08-09 biennium is $204,070,000. $153 million of that is requested from the Trunk Highway Fund, $9 million from the General Fund, $184,000 from the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, and the remaining is requested from statutory appropriations, federal, and we also receive federal funds and special revenue funds. The State Patrol is projected to have 969.9 full-time employees by fiscal year 2009. I would direct your attention to, if you're, I don't know if you're following along in your budget books or if you want to look at this one-page handout that we have. I will just let you know with each division where the detail is located on each budget, and then just highlight the budget change items that are applicable to each division.
Commissioner, probably, I was going to ask a question before we get into other divisions, basically to the State Patrol. How does that relate to last year's, this is the governor's budget, but how does that relate to your previous budget? Is it an increase or decrease? Did you just mention that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the governor is recommending an increase in the State Patrol budget, and let me highlight for a little bit for you what those specific increases are. The governor is recommending that we add 80 additional state troopers to patrol Minnesota's highway. That budget request is for $8.4 million, and the budget change item detail for that is located on page 25 of your budget books.
Commissioner,
I said 40. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the commissioner just said I said 80 troopers. Governor's recommended adding a 40. Colonel Donatsky just was leaping for joy up behind.
I was going to ask you. I thought it was 40.
Yeah, it's right? 40. It's 40.
I thought you.
I apologize.
So I was wondering, maybe you changed the supplemental we had. But Commissioner, is that the way? Is it better to handle if we check with ask the questions on the patrol now before you get any other sections?
Mr. Chair, it's up to you. However you would like to proceed. We have people here that can answer detailed questions.
Okay. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask about 40 troopers, if I may.
Oh, my.
Mr. Deputy Commissioner Ellison, a couple of years ago, I was carrying a little old liquor bill that got hijacked, and we stuck 2 a.m. bar closing in exchange for 40 more troopers. Did we ever get those? Because as I understand, the response to the 2 a.m. bar closing was underwhelming, which took us by surprise. And is this related to that, or are these 40 additional? Are we still trying to catch up from that 2 a.m. bar closing 40 trooper deal?
Mr. Chair, Representative, this is a really good question that you ask. In the past, when we have added troopers, the issue that we have had, the legislature has passed additional funds to add troopers, but because we have retirements and because there has been no salary supplement for state agencies for the past 4 years, when positions for troopers are added, we still have erosion because we have people retiring, we have increases in compensation that we're not given budget compensation adjustments for, and so also, you are right, the response to the 2 a.m. bar closing was much less than we anticipated. We were able to use some federal funds to assist us with that. And so I guess the short answer to your question is there still was erosion in the number of overall troopers that we had because of all of those factors. The other additional item that the governor is requesting is a compensation adjustment so that when we get to the end of the budget cycle, we really will have covered all of the expenses for existing troopers that we have on our staff, plus add a net additional 40 troopers for the biennium. So we overcome the problems that we've had in the past.
Commissioner, the two questions that I would want to ask, I mean, I've discussed that with the commissioner and with the colonel. I think for the members of the committee, I'd like to bring up the issue of what I'd call a fraud unit, which is previously established, but I think there was some rationale because you didn't have troopers. I think the impact has not been that much. And I just, for the record, like to have you state that some of these troopers may be used in that particular function, which is still in the books and everything else.
Mr. Chairman, I ask Colonel Donatsky to come forward and address that issue.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Mark Donatsky. I'm Chief of the Minnesota State Patrol.
Colonel, we discussed it previously. The function of the patrol had, if you just relate to what I'm speaking about, I'm sure you're aware, so the committee would know what we're speaking about, and it might help the whole issue of bringing in some funds, too, indirectly.
Mr. Chair, members, Back in, I believe, 1998, funds were appropriated to begin what was then referred to as a vehicle crimes task force that included four state troopers. The primary function of that unit was to look at vehicle fraud, auto theft, tax evasion in the area of registration. The group was formed up and performed very successfully, I might add, recovering dollars that would have been lost to particularly general revenue at that time through tax evasion and registration violations. You are correct, Mr. Chairman, over the course of time, as the staffing levels of the Minnesota State Patrol have dropped off somewhat, and in that particular unit, we've had a couple of retirements. We've been unable to fill those four positions, and so that unit now stands at two positions. It is our hope indeed, Mr. Chair, that over the course of the next biennium, that we are able to bolster that unit so we can bring it back up to staff, if not fully up to four, at least to some extent larger than it is now.
Thank you, Colonel. Well, again, just for the members of the committee, the rationale behind this, when the unit was first operating, first function, it brought in quite a bit of money for people that are Minnesota residents and have an out-of-state vehicle registration. And when they really got busy the first year, they didn't get individuals, as you can see, just still not individuals, but they did pick up a lot of car dealers and used car dealers especially, and I forget the amount of money they brought in, but it was a significant amount. It wasn't $100 or $1,000. It was a matter of approaching quite, I forget, I think it was $200,000-$400,000 in the ones that they could get in court, and I think at that time they had 18 more charges that they didn't even get to the court system, so I don't even know what the final monies ended. But there's a real loss. At the time this was set up, the assumption was that there was $11 million loss to the vehicle registration because of out-of-state registration. And just for the people that are listening, Colonel, it's not a misdemeanor, it's a felony. Fraud, isn't that correct?
It depends, sir, what course you're talking.
Basically on vehicle registrations, it's not a small thing, it's a big impact if they catch anybody that's a Minnesota resident without a Minnesota license and they're registered out of state.
The individuals are not. From an individual that's registered from our state and another state is trying to do it on that level, that would not be a felony level crime. For dealers that are doing tax evasion to certain levels, that would definitely be a felony crime.
It was a big hit at that time. Thank you, Colonel. Is there something I missed in that discussion? No. Well, you're up. If not, we wanted to make certain we had the committee realize that you'll have some troopers involved in that issue.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. We certainly hope so.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Colonel. Any questions from the committee? Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The gentleman who just spoke, Colonel, somebody, mentioned that there's a declining number of troopers, and I'm wondering if there are any numbers on troopers per capita over the years to say are we at the rate that we were before. And I know that the numbers on the fatalities and traffic accidents are going down. I think maybe part of that has to do with the way cars are built today. I wonder if the number of accidents per capita is going down.
Colonel?
Mr. Chair?
Dansky, isn't it, right?
Correct, sir. Dansky. Yes, Mr. Chair, members. A number of questions I think you had there. First to your question, I think, regarding per capita of Minnesota State Troopers. It just so happens that recently the Ohio Highway Patrol did a study in conjunction with the International Association of Chiefs of Police. And in that study, they surveyed all 49 state police agencies. The state of Hawaii does not have a state police level organization as such. And of those 49 states, Minnesota ranks 46th across the board in the number of troopers per population base, 46th per registered vehicle, excuse me, and 46th per million miles driven in the state. So we are relatively low in the per capita ratings. However, again, going to the representative's comments, the state of Minnesota does a significant job in our traffic-related programs. And I would certainly like to take credit for that. I think the Minnesota State Patrol does play a significant portion in that. But it does also go to what you talked about, the improvements in motor vehicles. Our highways are very well designed, very well maintained by and large. We have a wonderful emergency response system in the state of Minnesota, very good health care. So there's a lot of factors that come into play as to why the fatality rate has gone down. Having said that, I would reiterate that we killed almost 500 people on our highways last year. And on the part of the Minnesota State Patrol and the Department of Public Safety, we feel we can do far better than that.
Representative Hartman, do you have another? I think, too, also that when you ask about the number of stations at the Capitol, a lot of those are, as you're aware, and I think we should maybe just bring that out again, those are not, they may have a uniform on, but they're not licensed troopers, most of them. Is that correct, Colonel?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I guess I didn't hear that portion of the question.
No, my question was about per capita, you know, as opposed to the number of people we have in the state. And I'm sure it varies state by state depending upon how their police forces are. And so I'm sure that's a complicated figure, but it is good to know that we're, that 46 ranking is something that's good for the committee to know, and I think we should look more deeply into about whether we're at the level we should be in this department.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, I thought you said capital instead of captain. Unless there are questions from the colonel, thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner?
Moving on, if I can get my, there we go. The Minnesota State Patrol Services, I've asked Colonel Zanasky to stay in case there are other questions about the services. Their services include the aviation section, capital security, executive protection, the canine program, crash reconstruction, commercial vehicle enforcement, drug recognition experts, DWI enforcement, fleet management, investigative services, public information, a training academy, radio communications, and a special response team.
Mr. Chairman? Commissioner, excuse me. Representative Magnus.
Mr. Chairman, when we talk about radio communications, do you want to talk a little bit about that or have those folks, I believe they work in conjunction with MnDOT, and I don't know if all the committee knows about that, but in some areas they do anyway.
Mr. Chair, Representative Magnus, I would ask the Colonel to address that question.
I'm sorry, sir, Mr. Chair, what was the question related to? How we work with other agencies or with MnDOT?
Right, yeah. The agreement you have, partnerships you have with MnDOT for radio communications.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members, that's true. In fact, the Minnesota State Patrol and Department of Transportation are partners. We our radio systems are built on the backbones that the Department of Transportation provides not only to us, but under the new 800 megahertz system and interoperability program with other agencies. Most of the equipment that's in our cars is, if it's not installed, it is typically maintained by the Department of Transportation as well.
Thank you. Okay. Along that subject, are there, Colonel, are there videos in each patrol car now? Do you have them all equipped or not? Or video cameras or not?
Mr. Chair, members, the vast majority of our fleet does have. Some of our administrative people, some of our people in our commercial vehicle section don't have cameras in the cars, but I would say probably 95% of the fleet does.
Again, thank you, Colonel. Sorry for all the interruptions, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, as a committee, that's just fine. That we're here to answer your questions, so whatever questions you have, we're happy to address. If there are no other questions at this point on the patrol, then moving on to driver and vehicle services. The mission of driver and vehicle services is to provide fair, accurate, secure, and timely service through effective service options, accurate collection of data, fraud prevention, efficient collection of state revenue, and quality information and technical support for staff and for our business partners. DVS raises about $1.2 billion in state revenues annually, and the Driver Vehicle Services Division has 523 employees. DVS is funded by the Special Revenue Fund and the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. The governor's budget recommendation for DVS for the 2008-2009 biennium is $116,162,000. And what I would like to point out is just the various budget change items that the governor is recommending for driver and vehicle services. The first one is a $140,000 recommendation for additional expenditure authority for a records contract coordinator who will monitor compliance with state privacy statutes for people that use the DVS data. We're also requesting increased expenditures of $2.7 million to offset increased driver license fees. It's basically what we're proposing, what the governor's proposing, is an increase of 75 cents for driver's license fees and identification cards in order to handle the increased costs that we're incurring. Mr. Chair?
Question from Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering why, with a generation of $1.1 billion in state revenues, that we have to increase the driver license fees.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, the money that Driver Vehicle Services raises goes into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, and then our budget is based on our costs of doing business, and so what we do each year then is come to the legislature and ask for basically spending authority to spend the amount of money that we need. So we don't have access, of course, to that whole $1.1 billion. We need to come before the legislature each biennium and ask for the amount of funding out of the total amount that we raise to cover the costs of our expenses.
Well,
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, why don't you ask for the increased amount from the Special Revenue Fund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, I'll ask Ms. McCormick to come down in case she can add more detail. But what we did a couple years ago was basically base the driver and vehicle services budget on our costs of doing business. And so if we were to take more money from the $1.2 billion that we raised, then that would cause a reduction in the money that goes into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. So we're asking for the ability to increase our fees in order to cover our costs of doing business and not adversely affect the other funds that we collect revenue to support. Is that correct, Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Pat McCormick. I'm the DVS director. And Representative Earhart, the fees that we collect for driver's licenses and titles, and those fees are what we're asking for the increase from. But as Deputy Commissioner Ellison stated, the $1.1 billion includes all the motor vehicle taxes that are collected, and so we are only able to keep the portion that is deposited in our special revenue accounts. And the special revenue accounts, we have a driver services revenue account and a vehicle services revenue account. And so we're only able to spend money from those accounts. And so this 75 cent increase in the driver's license fee would be deposited in the driver services account. And that only pays for our operations. And 67% of that account is used to pay staff salaries, and 33% is used to pay for operations, which includes 95 exam stations throughout the state in terms of our driver services. So most of that revenue, as Deputy Commissioner Ellison stated, goes into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, and we only get a small portion of that money that we're able to use for our operations.
Mr. Chairman, is that money proportion of money that you get set in statute?
Ms. McCormick?
That goes into the
special revenue.
In the special revenue accounts? Is that set in statute? Not in the Constitution.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the fees are set in statute that we collect, the revenue that we collect and the fees that are the driver license fees are all set in statute. They're not set in the Constitution.
I think, Ms. McCormick, I think that's a special statute that set up the special revenue account.
Oh, yes.
I think that's what you're asking. That's
right.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, as Deputy Commissioner Ellison stated, in the last biennium, we were provided with the authority to have our fees put into the special revenue account so that we weren't taking money from the trunk highway fund in order to operate.
Well,
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, you are taking money if you take any of the money into the special revenue accounts, I think, rather than putting it into the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. I mean, this is another increase in fee. We don't want to call this a tax, do we? We are calling it a fee. Here we go again, folks. Yeah.
Mr. Cormier, do you want to comment? I believe, though, Representative Earhart, by statute, they can only take out their administrative costs. You're not taking out any excess other administrative costs. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chair, and yes, well, that is correct.
So that's the difference.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, but apparently administrative costs are going up because you're asking for an increase in driver's license fees. So that's the reason you're raising your fees to offset the increased administrative.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart and members of the committee, yes, we are asking for that increase because in order for us to have the same kind of staff salary supplement that the governor is recommending, we need to raise the fees in order to pay our staff that 2% that is being addressed for state employees, as well as handle all the leasing costs for all the exam stations that we operate in, and those are the types of costs that we need to be able to pay for.
Mr. Chairman, I don't doubt that you need the money. I'm just questioning why we have to raise the fees when you have a $1.1 billion in money that you're raising. Why don't we put some more money into the special revenue fund? It's out of that money rather than raising fees to the public again. This is just a backdoor increase in monies to the that we have to charge the public, is the point.
Representative Magnus?
Yeah, well, we can change the statute.
That's what we'd have to do. We'd have to change the, well, Mr. Chairman, I think we'd have to change the statute.
Sure.
Just to go with Representative Earhart said. A question I've got to Ms. McCormick is does this cover all licenses like motorcycles, CDLs, those sort of things? And when was the last increase in that in the license fees,
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative Magnus, it covers all driver license fees, and we did increase the driver's license fees in 2005 in the last biennium when we moved to a special revenue account.
Representative Morgan?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Ms. McCormick, by how much was the fee increased in 2005, and what is the total fee right now?
Ms. McCormick.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might comment again to this while they're discussing this too, the issues we were facing a few years ago were that if we didn't do some things to get more revenue in there, they were going to close several of the stations around the state. And looking at the rural areas, and you and I know, Mr. Chairman, in our rural areas, that you know we can't have people they're driving far enough already to get the license one. So I don't want to see any more stations closed and examination stations closed either. So that's one of the reasons why we increased them a few years ago, too, Mr. Chairman.
That's correct. Ms. McCormick, do you have an answer, too, for...
Mr. Chair and Representative Magnus, I'm sorry, I was just trying to refresh my memory. I've been so focused on the fees this time. My recollection, but I need to confirm it to make sure, is it was a $1.50 increase in the fee, and then there was an increase in the filing fee as well because of our agents that also asked for an increase in the filing fee. But we're not talking about any increase in registrations. It was just an increase in the titles and in driver's licenses and the filing fees that were involved for the deputy registrars in either motor vehicle transactions or the driver license agents, and those fees had not been increased for many years. So,
and Ms. McCormick, those agents are not state employees.
Mr. Chair, correct. Those are appointed agents by the commissioner.
Representative Morgan?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and the second part of the question was what is the total fee then now, yeah, before I mean, at this current, at the current time?
Mr. Chair and Representative, the total fee for just the driver's license is $21.50 right now. But there's variations, as was mentioned before, so there's there's commercial driver's licenses, different fees, et cetera. And
how many years?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Campion reminded me that's for 4 years, it's a 4-year renewal.
Representative Magnus, do you have a question?
No.
Commissioner, while we have her, Ms. McCormick, should we keep her here for a bit?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about the issue of motor vehicle license, and that's under your domain too, right, Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct.
You know, we have, for the members of the committee, maybe you want to explain where our licenses are made and where they're purchased and the problems that we have with the different types of license, and not the problems, but some probable cost variations. Could you do that, please?
Certainly. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, as part of this budget proposal, the department and the governor is recommending an increase in fees for license plates. We have the department has a contract with MinCor to produce our plates, and the costs associated with plate production have been increasing over the last several years.
Ms. McCormick, the members, I'm sure, don't know what MinCor means and some of those acronyms. If you would say who MinCor is, because we have a lot of new members, ma'am.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we have a contract with the Department of Corrections with their business unit that does that raises revenues for the prisoners. It's a prison industry program, and the plate production is done with the prisoners' assistance. And in terms of some special plates, we also use the MinCor, or Department of Corrections, has a contract with Iowa to produce flat plates for our loon plate, the critical habitat loon plate, and the support our troops plate. Right now, we are in the process of negotiating a new contract. This year, the seventh year, we need to negotiate a new contract with MinCor, and the price of materials for plate production have been increasing, so that with each plate that the department is selling at the current time, we're losing 82 cents because of the cost of aluminum has increased significantly. And so we are asking for an increase in the cost of plates, and I think the governor's recommendation would allow for an increase of $3.1 million, and that would be to cover our costs and also to allow us in this contract to be able to start producing a flat plate versus the embossed plates. Those plates would be more readable and would be better for law enforcement. The numbers are crisper, easier to see, and it also allows for less waste and quicker production, and also to accommodate the needs of the various special plates that also need to be produced. And so that is also part of our increase, our request for our budget proposal.
Ms. McCormick, also, you're not allowed to make any money on it. You only can recoup your costs, and I don't know if the members know that, but we have it in statute that you can only recoup your costs, and that's so you just so the members know that you're not making money on it. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize. This is probably a small thing, but it's bugging me now, so I thought I'd ask before Ms. McCormick left. You have a proposed increase of 75 cents for driver license and identification cards. And am I reading this correctly, that that's expected to offset $2.7 million in expenses?
Mr. Chair and Representative, yes, that's the that's $2.7 million over the biennium.
So how many license drivers and identification cards are we talking about here? It seems like that darn near approaches the population of the entire state.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Representative, we typically issue about 1.6 million driver's licenses and cards per year. Because when you move, when you change residences, you need to reapply and receive a duplicate driver's license. And so we do about two-thirds, I think, are duplicate driver's licenses.
Okay. Thank you. I wasn't counting on the moves. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McCormick, do you have any other comments as far as driver or the motor vehicle license?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the other part would be that there is also an increase in the title fees for 75 cents, and that is to offset all the expenses that we have with our vehicle services account, and that would include our issuing of expedited titles as well as trying to maintain a 14-day turnaround time for titles. And so in order to pay for our staff and all the costs that are associated with document management and the costs associated with that, we would need to increase the title fee by 75 cents.
Any further questions?
Well, I have a curiosity question, Mr.
Representative.
Number 12, compensation adjustment, $11.3 million. That's for your employees and to give them an increase in salary, I would suspect.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, let me answer that. That compensation adjustment is located throughout the different divisions within transportation, so it's not related necessarily to their vehicle services, but it is a request that's located throughout your budget documents, and you'll see that for each different division and how it impacts each division.
Well, it was my understanding, Mr. Chairman, that for many of years, the administration has not been recognizing salary increases, that if you want to give salary increases, you have to take it out of current budget. Am I correct there or not? Does anybody have an answer to that one?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, if I understand your question, it is true that over the past 4 years, the legislature has not provided a compensation adjustment to state agencies, and state agencies have had to cover union negotiated contracts through their base budgets. The $11.3 million that's being requested as part of the transportation budget doesn't impact driver and vehicle services because we changed the way we fund driver and vehicle services 2 years ago. But the governor did put in a recommendation for state agencies that we be allowed a compensation adjustment, and this $11.3 million is for the other divisions within the transportation area of public safety.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was asking that because this would signal a change in the administration's policy toward salary increases then. It may be apparent in other budget requests. This is the first time I've seen it because it happens to be here. But it must be a change in attitude about squeezing out the agency's salary increases from your base budget.
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhart, I do believe that this is a recognition on the part of the governor that we do need this compensation adjustment in order to keep pace.
You have, Mr. Chairman, have you heard him say anything about legislative salaries?
I have no comment, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Any further questions? Representative Medora?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question here. What's the average salary for a state trooper?
Mr. Chair, Representative Medora, I'm going to ask Scott Colonel to ask you to answer that.
That'd be great. Now, don't get worried.
Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Medora, were you asking average or starting?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I can't say what the average is. I can tell you what the range is. The salary range for a starting trooper is $21.65 an hour to $28.35, and that equates to, I think they've maxed out at just about $58,000 or $59,000 after several years.
That's a lot. We're asking these troopers to put their life on the line for $58,000. I'd like to know what $140,000 driver and motor vehicle records coordinator will do that would equal. That to me seems we could put two more state troopers on the line for something that looks like it could be done through the Information Technology Department. Why are we saddling this on the backs of the Public Safety Department?
Mr. Chair, Representative Medora, what this is in response to is that there are many, many companies that purchase data from driver and vehicle services, and then they use that data for various purposes. We've had concerns raised about the security of that data, and so what we're requesting here is the ability to have an auditor and a person that would go out and make sure that people are using the data that they're getting and purchasing from driver vehicle services in a way that that is consistent with state statutes related to data privacy. And I'll ask Ms. McCormick maybe to add any more detail.
Representative Medora, you further?
I do. The reason I'm questioning this is, as you know, 2 years ago we had this problem of a security breach, and it was supposed to be handled through the Information Technology Department. And now I see, you're asking for troopers, and you're having a hard time with erosion, and you're asking this department to be saddled with another, basically a figurehead for $140,000 that really should be coming from another department. I'm not understanding why this is going through
Mr. Chair, Representative Medora, I think that there's a misunderstanding about the different levels of security that we're talking about here. The security that you're talking about with the web-based system did involve us spending money on increasing our technology security, and we have expended those dollars, and there is a request to expend some additional dollars to keep pace with the security needs of our technology system, how we store the data, how we keep the data, how we transfer the data. What this is over 2 years, so it's $70,000 per year, and what we're asking for is somebody that actually goes out and audits the use of the data, not necessarily the transfer of the data technologically, but the use of the data by the people who are purchasing the data to make sure that they're following the data practices statutes in the state of Minnesota. So I just would want to add that clarification.
Well, I guess I'm...
Representative Medora?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chair. I guess I'm concerned about that. And then I see here another expenditure for $138,000 for a security coordinator. How long is that position open? Is that a temporary position? I'm looking at our ability to put more troopers on the road, which I think helps the state of Minnesota. Isn't this something at this point that can be a temporary assignment to somebody in the department, given that the Republican convention will be out of here by the end of 2008?
Mr. Chair, Representative Medora, this is for a temporary position that will exists between now and the time that the Republican National Convention comes to the state of Minnesota. And I'll ask Commissioner Campion to talk more about why this position is being requested and the different things that this position will be asked to do. Is that okay?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's for a two-year period of time. That's so the salary, you cut it in half, and that's what the salary is for a half a year. I have gone, and a number of people in public safety have gone to probably 7-8 meetings already in anticipation of the Republican National Convention in 2008, and it is going to be a very demanding and very time-intensive, and it's going to be a monster of a project to coordinate and to provide security for. And we felt very strongly, based on models in other cities, Boston and New York, for instance, that hosted a Democratic National Convention and Republican National Convention, respectively, that learning from their after-action report literally is, here's what we learned and here's what the next site should be cognizant of, that there's a tremendous amount of responsibility. State will have a huge role, not only the Department of Public Safety, but Department of Health, Department of Agriculture, Department of Transportation, Department of Natural Resources. There will be several, multiple state agencies that will be involved in this enterprise, and to have one person be the point person to have the knowledge and have be involved in all of the activities so that there's a central point of contact made an enormous amount of sense versus an environment where we're pulling somebody from the State Patrol to go to one meeting and somebody from the DCA to go to another one and somebody trying to coordinate the Department of Transportation and approaching it in a very hodgepodge manner. This approach seemed to make a great deal of sense. Frankly, we've already hired somebody on a very part-time basis, 10, 20 hours a week, with the idea that as time goes on, this person will be full-time and as a build-up to the convention itself will be 60, 70, I don't know how many hours a week, because it will be an enormously demanding enterprise. 60,000 to 70,000 people will come to the city of St. Paul and in this region for the convention. 20,000 media is projected alone. So it's just going to be a tremendous task. And obviously, this we want to make Minnesota and the metropolitan area shine. And this is the approach that we've taken.
Representative Hortman. Representative Nelson.
I'm a building trades person, and we always talk at our salaries and the total package. This $69,000 a year for the security and the $70,000 a year for the other one, that's total package. That includes their pension, their health care, all those costs, or is this just their salary per what they're getting on their check?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, probably travel expenses and certainly a number of other...
So it's
the entire package.
It's everything that costs for that person. So
yes.
They're not getting $70,000 a year or $69,000 a year.
Mr. Chair, probably not. No. And I think we've added some... The person already went to Boston to meet with the local authorities, law enforcement, to just learn what we need to do here as an example, and some of those travel costs certainly are also built in, is my understanding.
So, Mr. Chair, they're not getting paid... way more than what a trooper is. It's in the same price range as a trooper would be. So,
Sherry, Representative, you're absolutely right.
Thank you.
We've got no further questions, I believe, but we do have a lot of ground to cover here, Commissioner. I thought you passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question was just on a slightly different point. It was on that driver and motor vehicle records coordinator. I'm wondering if perhaps we're not charging enough money for the data that we're selling, and if we could raise the revenue for that position by increasing the price of the data.
Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hartman, the issue is that we are asking for expenditure authority, and the department does have the authority to raise the fees, but we needed to get expenditure authority. The fees that we would be looking to raise are the fees for the electronic updates that we provide users of our data on a monthly basis. Those fees have not been increased since 1995, and so those would be the fees that we would be asking to increase. But we already have the authority, but we need to get the authority in terms of expending the dollars to pay for the position.
Thank you. That's helpful.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, moving on just with the different services the driver and vehicle division provides, they provide title and registration, auto dealer licensing and inspection, prorate services, driver exams, driver compliance, driver's license issuing, a public information center, operations support, and e-business.
Could I just comment?
Any other questions?
For the new members, if they don't understand what prorate is, if you just comment on that quickly, say what the prorate, I know what it is, but I mean, so you could clarify for them.
Mr. Chair, you're approaching the limit of my knowledge of how things work, so I'm going to ask Ms. McCormick to come up again. I know it has to do with truckers and fuel tax and all this kind of stuff. So.
I'm sure that they're not aware of what the prorate means.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, it's a regulation of interstate carriers. And it has to do with the fuel tax and registration of those carriers as they move through our state.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I just would point out, too, there were some questions about the structure of funding driver and vehicle services, and I just wanted to point out that on your budget books on page 38, there is an overview of the change that we made 2 years ago. And then the different budget change items that we discussed are also located on pages 39 through 45 of the budget documents. So moving on from driver and vehicle services to the Office of Traffic Safety. Traffic Safety provides leadership and resources to reduce the number and severity of traffic crashes in Minnesota. The goal is to drive down the number of deaths and serious injuries as low as possible. Office of Traffic Safety receives an annual appropriation from the Trunk Highway Fund, and then this is a required match that we use to leverage federal funds. And we are able to leverage federal funds that approximate over $17 million per year. The budget request for Office of Traffic Safety is for $870,000 for the 2008-2009 biennium.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we pass a no cell phones bill in your car, are you going to have to increase something in this area?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Earhoff, the question is, if are we going to need to increase funding if we pass a no cell phone?
Yes, something in this Office of Traffic Safety or somehow.
I'm not aware of any increased costs that we would incur, but I would ask Ms. Palm. No, they're saying there's no increased costs that we would incur.
You may proceed.
The Office of Traffic Safety provides traffic safety outreach, impaired driving programs, occupant protection programs, data systems, safe communities. Those are grant programs. Motorcycle safety support program, enforcement of underage drinking laws, crash outcome and data evaluation, and fatal analysis records system. Administrative services is also funded through this division. We have a total of 86 employees in the communications office and the commissioner's office in our human resources area, in our fiscal and administrative services, and in our Office of Technology and Support Services. The budget recommendation for 2008-2009 is $33,552,000 from the General Fund, Trunk Highway Fund, and Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. And this this item does relate to a budget change item that I will point out. It is located on page 13, and this is a request for additional funds for the area of increasing our data, our technical security, and also planning for the event of a disaster in securing our technology system so that we would be able to maintain our services in the event that we had a disaster. Pipeline safety. The mission of the Pipeline Safety Division is to protect lives, property, and the environment through the implementation of a program of gas and hazardous liquid pipeline inspections, enforcement, accident and incident investigations, and education. Pipeline funding is a mixture of special revenue funds that the industry pays, totaling $2.669 million for the 08-09 biennium, and then they also receive federal grants totaling $1.846 million, and then they have 20.7 full-time employees. Pipeline services include pipeline inspections, pipeline incident investigations, enforcement, and damage prevention. That completes the divisions that are funded through the transportation area. Are there any additional questions that we can answer?
Commissioner Campion,
Mr. Chair, will certainly answer some questions. I just have a comment or two for new members that maybe add some clarity to what this is all about, to put it in some context. But we certainly would be more than happy to answer any questions.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just touching on pipeline services, if you could comment upon the proposed work on the MnCAM pipeline and what effect that might have upon the services or duties in your office.
Mr. Chair, Representative, this definitely calls for somebody to come down and fit nose with.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Charles Kino. I'm the administrator of the Office of Pipeline Safety. And one of the reasons we have an increase in our proposal this biennium is because of all the new pipeline construction that's being proposed over the next 2 years. The MnCAM project is one of those, and we have a total of 10 inspectors full-time in the pipeline area right now. We're looking at 900 new miles of pipeline construction over the next couple of years. So that's one of the reasons we're asking for an increase in the cap to be allowed to add a couple engineers over that period of time. So we do have a responsibility for all the inspection for all interstate pipelines in Minnesota with agreement with the federal government. So it'll be our inspectors that'll be out there on the job inspecting that pipeline during construction.
Representative Mason?
I just had a question. We were talking about data, and who all has access to the information that you collect?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, it depends upon which data that you're asking. We have so much different data within the Department of Public Safety.
I apologize. I was thinking of driver licenses and the tags.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, it depends upon the purpose for which people are asking for data, but there's both state law and federal law that covers who can have access to our data and for what purpose. And I'm going to ask again Ms. McCormick to come down. She can provide a whole lot more detail. But for instance, insurance companies can access our data to see who has insurance. Some banking industry people can have access to our data for different purposes related to the banking industry. I'll ask Ms. McCormick to elaborate further.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, driver license data is considered to be private data for the most part, and so it would have to be for a permissible use that was allowed under the federal law. And those, I can provide you with that, a handout that would, to all members of the committee, so that you'd have the handouts and what we use in terms of our data practices policy, because it is very, you have to have a specific use, as Deputy Commissioner Ellison was saying. Another example would be, for instance, if you need to check on a driver, if you're a school bus company or you're a trucking company, you would need to be checking on your drivers to ensure that they have a valid driver's license. So there's various uses that are allowed under the law, and we require, we have a form that needs to be filled out where whoever is requesting that data must specify why they're requesting that data. And that's what we were looking at with this auditor position, that then we will follow up to make sure how that data is used and make sure who they're providing that data to, that they aren't reselling that data to someone for, you know, that isn't part of the information that they gave to us on the agreements that we signed with them. So that would be the purpose of that auditor position. But I will provide you, because I may forget one, so I think it'd be more helpful if I just sent you the information, which gives you all that, what our policies are.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have sort of just a general question on the Minnesota State Patrol and Driver and Vehicle Services. I'm sure there's some reason why some... I know there's a reason why. Some comes from the Highway User Trust Fund and some comes from the Trunk Highway Fund. And I'm wondering how you decide how much, you know, what proportion of the budget comes from the transportation type accounts as opposed to what proportion of the budget comes from the general fund or somewhere like that.
I'm going to ask Mr. Aaron's our
that's why you bring that big book.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of it is history and all kinds of other things, but I'll let Mr. Aaron,
welcome to the committee. It's been a long time since you've been around here.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, I'm Frank Aarons, Finance Director for Public Safety. The funding out of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, there was mention of that when we were looking at the Driver and Vehicle Services Program. Out of that program, there is an appropriation being made out of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund as it relates to the cost of collecting the tax, or the taxes, in other words, the motor vehicle registration tax that is deposited in a Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. The trunk highway dollars that are being appropriated in this budget, you have an appropriation being made to the State Patrol, and that's predominantly where the trunk highway appropriations are made in our agency. And that, as it relates to the trunk highway system, patrol, as you know, they are the people that provide the safety on the trunk highway system. So that's why they are funded out of the trunk highway fund. And other activities are predominantly funded out of the general fund, as other state agencies are.
Mr. Aaron, that's statutory. I think that's the question you asked, right?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
It's not arbitrary for the... It's actually in statute. I mean, it's not something you do on your own. It's,
right.
That's good.
I was just wondering, Mr. Chair, of what the proportionality, because I see in the State Patrol budget,
you know, that there's $153 million from Trunk Highway and $184,000 from Highway User Tax Distribution and $9 million from the General Fund. And I was just curious whether that's consistent with past practice or, you know, what would make us decide to get $12 million from the General Fund as opposed to $9 out of the total appropriation?
Mr. Aarons.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I'll get the right page here and I'll go through that with you. The general fund appropriation that you see there, and if you're looking on page 24, I believe that's what you may be looking at, predominantly that funding is provided for the capital security activity. In other words, that's an activity that cannot be funded out of the Trunk Highway Fund, in that it has no relationship to the Trunk Highway system. You also have the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. There's $184,000 that's being appropriated there. That's part of the governor's recommendation. That relates to the collections or the legal costs related to civil and criminal weight violations or fines that are issued by the state patrol. Those collections for civil and criminal weight fines are by statute deposited or directed to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, whereas the other fine collections that are collected by or issued by the State Patrol are deposited in the Trunk Highway Fund. So that's the reason why there is a small appropriation of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund as it relates to the criminal and civil weight fines.
Thank you. That's very helpful. I understand when we pay our gas tax, that money is constitutionally dedicated to transportation, and I imagine that other members like me talk to members of your community all through the campaign season about what happens with the gas tax, and I told them it pays for state troopers and for roads, and I just wondered about the split, and I just want to make sure I'm sharing accurate information. So thank you for explaining that to me.
Thank you. Just hold on. Representative Nelson has a question.
I guess my question, Mrs. McCormick, or Ms. McCormick should come back down. It's a Thank question I had about data.
Do you want to state your question, did you say?
In the past, and I guess this goes into, in the past, the state has sold hunter's lists and fisherman license lists and those types of lists. And I guess this last go-around, there was a year or so ago, it was determined that those, because the information comes off the swipe of the driver's license, that they could no longer sell those. Is that part and parcel with you, or is that somewhere else that we have to ask that question of why?
Mr. Chair, Representative, this is an area that involves the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Administration, and other areas. But the Department of Natural Resources has had the practice in the past of selling those lists. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know what their practice is currently. We have specific statutes, federal and then also state, that Ms. McCormick mentioned about the sale of our data and what people can use it for. So I'm not sure I can answer that any more specifically than that. Can you, Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, at this time I think it would be helpful for us to go back, and we do provide data to the Department of Natural Resources, but in terms of how that data is used, in terms of selling lists, I would want to ensure that we're giving you the correct information. So if it's all right with you, I would like to make sure and check with our data practices manager, and then we can get back to you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, also, a state statute does list the different state agencies that we must provide our data to. The Department of Natural Resources is one of those state agencies, and we can get that information to you as well.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know in past years, and a lot of candidates in the past have bought those lists and used them for targeted mailing, and it was this last election cycle that we were told that they could no longer sell that list, and the reason they gave was that because data came from the driver's license, or part of the data comes from the driver's license, they could no longer sell that list or provide that list, and that's what I'm asking the question.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we have had those discussions, and our council has advised us not to allow the sale of the data for that purpose. I do recall those discussions. I just don't recall all of the details, but we can get back to you on that.
Thank you. And you, Ms. McCormick, along with the other data that you can, that'd be good if you could insert that with it, that'd be fine. Are there any further questions? No, thank you very much for your...
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just have two observations, particularly, I'll be very short, particularly for new members. The most important document that you have in your purse or in your wallet is your driver's license. It not only affords you identification, it's not only one of the finest driver's licenses in terms of security in the country, it offers you the opportunity to do banking, retail, and a whole laundry list of all kinds of activities, and you pay slightly over $5 a year for it. I would suggest that is an enormous bargain. Secondly, you heard State Patrol is probably 46th in the country in terms of population. 2006, we closed in the state of Minnesota with the lowest traffic fatality rate since World War II. I'll say that one more time, the lowest traffic fatality rate since World War II. And it's not the complete responsibility or credit to the Department of Public Safety, but we do know what works, and we do know our relationships with local law enforcement, local entities, with the legislature, 0.08, heat, traffic safety, directing specific money in a heat project into those areas and those jurisdictions that have the highest traffic crashes and fatalities, all being smarter and not just hiring troopers to, because we need more troopers, all of those kinds of things. And it's a very complicated a system of things that we've woven together to accomplish this. I think the Department of Public Safety does an enormous amount of very important and significant things. I say this and try to put it in some context, because all these numbers you swirl around in your head and you wonder if any of this stuff makes any sense. Those two issues alone, I think, point out the progress and the significance of what public safety does, and frankly, they do it not on the cheap, but they do it in a very effective and efficient manner.
Thank you very much, Mr. Campion. And Deputy Commissioner Ellison, right? Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity.
For the members of the committee, our next meeting is at the Capitol, and it's next Tuesday, right, February 20th, at 12:30, and it's a joint Senate House meeting with Congressman Oberstar at the Capitol. Do you have a question? Any questions or comments? If not, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.